Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a person who is hasty with his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." What we can notice immediately is that this proverb does not have the same type of structure that many other proverbs have. There's no conjunction, like the word and or but, connecting the two lines to help us understand the logical relationship they have to one another. What we see instead are the two lines working together to present the idea of the proverb. This combination of both lines is known as synthetic parallelism. The way synthetic parallelism often works is that the first line will give a premise or describe a situation or give a detail or a particular circumstance, and then the second line will draw an inference, an implication, or a conclusion from it. Here, by using a rhetorical question, the first line presents us with a circumstance that we could hypothetically encounter. Do you see a person who is hasty with his words? Then on the heels of that question, the second line postulates the observed effect or consequence. There is more hope for a fool than for him. As readers, we're often left then to discern the logical relationship for why the premise of line one would cause the effect described in line two. In essence, what is it about speaking with haste that then results in a person having less hope than even a fool? In order to answer that question, we have to know what hope does a fool even have. But before we get to answering the question, let's look more closely at what the proverb is saying. First, to be hasty with one's words means to be impulsive and rash with them. Choosing words hastily is to choose them without consideration for their moral character and alignment with the fear of Yahweh and living with wisdom. If a person simply blurts something out, they likely have not thought first about whether they should say it or not, and likely have not weighed the effect it will have upon the hearer. Speaking hastily often gets people in trouble because it is an avenue for saying careless things that merely pass into our minds before we have time to process them in the present context. It is as if the words bypass our mind and quickly find an opportunity to escape out through our mouth. Have you ever said something without really thinking about it, and then later came to regret it? I bet we've all been there. Surely it has happened to you. When you're talking with someone like a friend or coworker or other acquaintance, and for some reason unbeknownst to you at the time, you say something off the cuff, like a funny quip or a sassy remark. And then shortly thereafter, you realize the impact or significance of what you have just said, and you wish you could take it back. Yeah, we've all been there. I remember this one time when I was with a group of friends, and we were just chit-chatting and joking around. But at some point in the conversation, I made a comment about how one of my friends, who was standing right there, was sometimes a goof. To me, it was a harmless tease, as I didn't mean anything derogatorily or demeaning or anything like that. Moreover, it wasn't just me. The whole group was throwing around jokes and humor, but I was the only one who mentioned this specific person. Fast forward 1 week. That friend that I made the joke about called me up and told me that they were very hurt by my comment and couldn't believe that I would say that. Little did I know about my friend at the time, but they were hypersensitive to being made fun of or made to look bad in public. Any comment that would paint them in a bad light, reveal a character flaw, or even just have people laugh at them was deemed reprehensible in their eyes. If I had known that, then I wouldn't have targeted them and made a funny comment about them that they got offended by. However, sometimes we know we shouldn't say certain things to certain people, but in certain circumstances, we sometimes slip up and say what we shouldn't. For example, when my wife are having an argument, I have learned through trial and error that I am not supposed to say, I told you so. But believe me, when we are in the thick of it and having a heated conversation, and I've been trying to make a certain point that my wife doesn't believe is correct, only for her to then finally recognize and concede that I actually was right. It has slipped out of my mouth at those times when I just feel so justified and vindicated, only to then immediately realize what I just said and how big the pile of you-know-what is that I just stepped in. It takes a great deal of discipline to moderate the words we use, especially taking into consideration the context and audience to whom we are speaking those words. Now, no one is perfect, but we also shouldn't be completely negligent about the importance of weighing our words before we say them. As the proverb says, the person who is hasty with their words, there is more hope for a fool than for him. We are all hasty with our words at times, but what is unique is this particular person that the proverb has in mind, since the consequence or effect is that there is more hope for a fool than for him. Because if that was the case for every single person who says something before thinking about it, well, I guess we're all sunk then. But the proverb rarely has only a single incident in mind when posing a wise saying. Typically, proverbs use categories or general stereotypes. You know, we've all done foolish things and evil things. We've all been angry, jealous, or lazy. But those occasions when we act that way don't automatically mean that we should be characterized by that behavior as someone who sort of possesses that characteristic. Only if we exhibit a pattern or habit of such behavior should we see ourselves as one of those whom the proverb is describing. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean we can't or shouldn't learn the wisdom of proverbs in order to avoid ever developing such said bad habit or pattern in our life. When the second line of the proverb says there is more hope for a fool than for him, what it means is that impulsive speech is one of the hardest character flaws to fix. There are two proverbs in the book of Proverbs that contain this exact phrase. One is here in chapter 29, verse 20, concerning being hasty with one's words, and the other is in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12, which says, "Do you see a person who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." A comparison is being made between a person being wise in his own eyes and being a fool. Being wise in your own eyes means relying upon one's self-derived understanding, rather than God's wisdom and truth. They have a high estimation of their mental prowess and faculties, rather than relying upon God. The emphasis is on the hopelessness of the conceited person who thinks their opinion is always right. For that person, there is no hope of rectifying their foolishness. The deluded fool's obsession with their own self-reliance will forever prevent them from understanding their erroneous ways. It is difficult to tell, though, if the proverb cracks open the door that perhaps a non-deluded fool might come to understand their foolishness, or if the comparison is simply for rhetorical effect. It seems that there does remain a possibility that a fool will come to realize their foolishness, but it will likely not be by their own self-awareness or recognition of their mistakes. Arrogance and impulsive speech might be two of the most difficult habits to break. But in any regard, Proverbs views the fool as having more hope than one who possesses these flawed characteristics. In the wisdom literature of the Bible, the fool is a person who lacks discernment, but might eventually be corrected by life's hard knocks. However, the person who speaks before they think is often driven by pride or a lack of self-control. The fool might be slow to understand, but they can be taught if they desire. The hasty person thinks he already knows enough to speak. Because he acts before he processes his words, he is essentially unteachable. You can't fix a problem if you're too busy talking and not listening. Moreover, to be hasty with one's words implies that the person believes their immediate thoughts, are more important than the reality of the situation. It suggests a lack of humility to consider walking in the fear of Yahweh. If we speak without considering the weight of our words, then we are essentially saying that our temporary thoughts and feelings and the need to be heard are more important than the long-lasting consequences of what we say. The bottom line is that self-awareness and discipline is the foundation of wise living. If you cannot control your tongue, you cannot control your life. The fool is at the bottom of the stairs, but the hasty and arrogant person are jumping off the roof. The fool can be helped to take steps upward if he chooses to do so, but there's no stopping someone mid-air who is falling to the ground. In order to illustrate this proverb, I want to use a scene from the TV show Shogun, which takes place in the year 1600 in Japan. Toward the beginning of the show, one of the characters, Lord Yoshi Torinaga, has become frustrated with the Council of Regents' power struggle in Osaka, and therefore he decides to retreat to the rural fishing village of Aijiro to consolidate his forces, relying heavily on certain tactical advantages provided by the main character, John Blackthorne. Blackthorne, an English sailor and pilot, which is called an anjin in Japanese, has risen from the status of a prisoner to a trusted hatamoto, that is a high-ranking official, and has begun to integrate into Japanese society under the tutelage of Toda Mariko, his translator, whose loyalty is split between her Christian faith, her duty to Torinaga, and her growing connection to Blackthorne. As a hatamoto, Blackthorne is given land, money, household staff, and a consort, whose name is Usami Fuji. Fuji doesn't speak any English and has to communicate with Blackthorne through Mariko as a translator. In episode 4, Blackthorne is gifted a pheasant by Lord Torinaga as a favor and sign of friendship. Blackthorne decides to hang the bird on a post in the courtyard to age the meat, unknowingly defying local customs regarding decay and hygiene. The incident comes to a breaking point, though, in episode 5, when several days have passed since Blackthorne hung the bird. Here is how the scene unfolds. Blackthorne walks into the courtyard at his estate, but stops abruptly, pointing at the empty post, and asks, "The pheasant, where is it?" Mariko, his translator, bowing low, softly answers, "It was removed, Anjin-sama. The smell, it was becoming a danger to the health of the village." Blackthorne exhales and gives a quick, bitter chuckle before remarking, "Well, thank God for that. I was starting to think the darn thing would crawl away on its own." He then looks around to see where his staff are at. "Where is the gardener, Yujiro? I want to thank him for finally having the sense to bin it." After a long and heavy silence, Mariko answers, "Yujiro is dead, Anjin-sama." Blackthorne's smile quickly vanishes, and his countenance exhibits a mix of confusion and concern. "What did you say?" Blackthorne asks. Mariko quietly replies, "He was executed this afternoon." With a sense of shock and bewilderment, Blackthorne exasperates, "Executed? By whom? For what?" Mariko replies, "By your own order. You told the household, if anyone touches that bird, they die." Blackthorne is incredulous at the fact of the execution, his voice rising in intensity. I was joking. It's a way of speaking. I didn't mean for someone to actually kill him." Mariko immediately responds with firmness, "In this country, there is no such thing as a joke when a master gives an order to his house. You are a hatamoto. Your word is the law." Blackthorne, now pacing and very agitated at the turn of events, continues his rant. "It was a rotting bird, Mariko, a piece of meat. I told them not to touch it because I didn't want them to throw it away. I didn't sign a death warrant for an old man. Mariko answers, Yujiro knew the price. He chose to accept it to bring peace to this house. He died with honor because he followed your decree. Blackthorn now turning to Fuji with bitter anguish in his voice. Fuji, did you do this? Did you kill a man over a pheasant? Mariko translating for Fuji. She says she only did what was required to uphold the honor of your house. If she had let him live, she would have been failing you. She would have been making your word a lie. Blackthorn whispers under his breath, Jesus, what kind of place is this? Mariko, in a resolute and sobering manner, tells Blackthorn, It is a place where words have meaning, Anjin-sama. I suggest, in the future, you choose yours more carefully. While we all can empathize with Blackthorn's mistake, his negligence about his position and the authority that his words carry does not excuse his rash comment that unintentionally resulted in a person's death. The proverb is not merely warning us about saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. It is exposing a deeper failure of humility, self-control, and teachability. Hasty words reveal a heart that feels entitled to speak without recourse, react before it listens, and assert itself without considering others. That is why it says that there is more hope for a fool than for such a person. Wisdom begins when we learn to pause, to weigh our words carefully, and to speak as those who are accountable for every word we utter. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.